She went to God with her problems. She went to God with her problems. And so we read that in verse 10 and 11. So she went to Shiloh, which is where the tabernacle was in those days. And we read this. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. Hannah was bitter. Do you remember the story of Ruth? And Naomi said, no, don't call me Naomi anymore, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter, for the Lord has taken away from me. And she had lost a husband and two sons. And the word Mara is used here as well for bitter. She was a bitter woman. You know, some people would laugh. Some people like to laugh at Christians. A person might say to a Christian, you always need a prop. You always need a crutch. You can't live life on your own. There's sort of a bit of ridicule in that. And what's the answer to that question? You'd say, you're absolutely right. I need God. And that's what Hannah did. She needed God. She needed God to answer her prayers. And brothers and sisters, we feel the intensity of her prayer here. When do you pray the most intensely? When do you pray the most desperately? And I think all of us would say we pray the most intensely, the most desperately, when things aren't going our way. I know that's how it is for me, and I wish it wasn't. But I wonder if it's like that for you. Hannah cried out to the Lord in her need, because only the Lord could answer her need. But brothers and sisters, look at her posture in prayer. It's so impressive. Again, that prayer from verse 11, she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the afflictions of your maidservant, and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Do you feel that humility, this placing yourself before the Lord in a lowly position, just acknowledging that you're nothing, that God is everything and that God alone can answer your prayers? That was her posture in prayer. I am your maidservant, your maidservant, your maidservant. Some people might criticize Hannah and say, but she's striking a bargain with God. But brothers and sisters, it's not a bargain, it's a desperate need. But if God answered that need, if God gave her grace, she would respond to the grace of God. It wouldn't be about her, but about God. And she would dedicate that child to God. So just to quickly recap, I thought I'd just do that before I moved on. Hannah turned to God in her distress. Hannah placed herself in a position of humility, and Hannah was determined to use any blessing received from God to his glory. And brothers and sisters, God answered her prayer. And amazingly, really, Hannah decided to go to Shiloh when Samuel was born, probably around the age of 3 or 4, to give that son, to dedicate that son to the Lord and let him remain in Shiloh with Eli the priest. An amazing thing to do, really. It's only after that that she received a whole lot more children. I think another 3 sons and 2 daughters she received. But she did that. She was willing to give her child to the Lord to serve at the temple. And brothers and sisters, when she did that, she broke out into this amazing psalm of praise. And in a sense, I want us to take the message of that psalm home for us today. because I find it unique. Ralph Davies separated this psalm of praise in chapter 2, 1 to 10 into three sections. And I just want to look at each of these three sections just briefly. So we read there, this is from the Common English Bible. Then Hannah prayed, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My strength," horn in the other translations, "rises up to the Lord. My mouth mocks my enemies because I rejoice in your deliverance. No one is holy like the Lord. No, no one except you. There is no rock like our God. Don't go on and on talking so proudly, spouting arrogance from your mouth, because the Lord is the God who knows and he weighs every act." Notice the personal nature of that prayer, that psalm. "My," she says a number of times, "my heart, my strength, my mouth rejoices in the God who saves, the God who gives me or what I have asked him to give me." I've underlined the word strength or horn there. I've just made it bold because I wonder how that works. You know, my strength, what does that mean? In those days, they used to blow a ram's horn. And often with these sort of horns, you really got to blow hard to get a sound out of them. When it comes to a flute or something like that, you've got to blow correctly. So if I put Marianne's flute to my mouth and blew, it makes this really strange sort of noise. It's not musical in any way. First of all, nothing happens, and then some sort of false note just comes out the end. There's nothing good about it. The same could be said about a clarinet. If you don't get that right, if you don't get your blowing right, it just sounds horrible. But with a horn, you really got to power it up to get a noise out of the end. And you just have to imagine what Hannah's doing here. She's saying that she needs every part of her being, her breath, her soul, her energy, her strength. "My strength, every part of her being, rises up to the Lord in praise for what the Lord has done for her." Her whole body just simply quivered with praise for God. "There is no one like God," she says. Why does she come out with that praise? Because God has answered her prayer. She has received a son from the Lord. In a sense, God has taken away her disgrace, and she's just filled with thankfulness. But brothers and sisters, this is what makes the psalm so interesting, or this song so interesting. Because if you like it, it works like this. The psalm begins with me and what happens in my life, but it moves outwards, it grows bigger. It's like a tree that just simply develops. This is what the psalm is. Verses 4 to 8. "The bows of mighty warriors are shattered." This is, you know, obviously not her situation. "But those who were stumbling now dress themselves in power. Those who are filled now sell themselves for bread. But the ones who were starving are now fat with food. The woman who was barren," again perhaps her circumstances, "has birthed 7 children. But the mother with many sons has lost them all. The Lord, he brings death, gives life. He takes down to the grave and raises up. The Lord, he makes poor, gives wealth, brings low, but also lifts up high. God raises the poor from the dust, lifts up the needy from the garbage pile. God sits them with officials, gives them the seat of honor. The pillars of the earth belong to the Lord. He sets the world on top of them." This is beautiful. Bit of scripture, isn't it? Always find with psalms when I read them the first time that I don't really comprehend them very well at all. But when you sit down and you start to think about this is amazing. So Hannah She looks at what God's done in her life, this a massive reversal, if you like. She couldn't have children, now she has children. But her heart doesn't stop there, you know. She's had an experience of God, and she starts to see what God does in the world. And what does God do in the world? He humbles and he lifts up. This sort of reversal takes place. Those who are poor become rich. Those who are dead become alive. Those who are powerful and arrogant become poor and into the dust and go down to Sheol, the place of the dead. Hannah, looking at what happened in her life, just sort of sees how God operates. When I was in the police force many years ago, and I don't remember many things, when you came to a crime scene or you went to a house that had been burgled, you'd write up a form. And in that form, you'd sort of write down the particulars of the case. And the reason for that is to look at what they used to call the modus operandi. The modus operandi. You're looking for, some people start to look, is this crime similar to other crimes that have been committed? The same modus operandi, the same mode of operation. You know, someone that breaks down the back door or something or puts graffiti on the wall after they steal something. You're looking for similar things. So they could say, this crime seems to have been committed by someone who did this crime as well. Ways of operating. In a sense, it's like that with God too. This is what Hannah experiences. This is how God works into his life. But this is how God works in the world. He raises up and he brings down. He raises up the humble and he crushes the weak, the powerful. And brothers and sisters, why does Hannah say that? It's because she's experienced grace in her life. Why would you say it? Why would you say the words of this psalm? Isn't it because God's done a work of grace in your life as well? You know what it is to have been humbled at times. And I suppose you can go straight back to the gospel and say, I was dead in my sin, but God has made me alive in Christ. We look at what happened in the gospel when Jesus went to the grave, but God lifted him up and raised him from the dead. Sometimes, congregation, it's just things that happen in our lives. We cry out in desperation because we've lost a job and God answers that. God's always got, we pray for health and God gives us health. We recognise that God who does this in our lives can do this in our society as well. That this is the way God operates in the world. He humbles those who are proud and he raises up the weak and the humble. The way God operates. Do you recognize that? And do you pray big prayers like Hannah did, away from her circumstances, and just sees how great God is in the world? In the last part of the psalm, God guards the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked die in darkness. And I think this is a telling line, this third line there, because no one succeeds by strength alone. No one succeeds by strength alone. If you think you can do it, anything based on your own strength, you will fail. The Lord, his enemies are terrified. God thunders against them from heaven. The Lord. He judges the far corners of the earth. May God give strength to his king and raise high the strength of his anointed one. This is the grand finale, the amazing conclusion. She just sees God, the Lord, and what he will do. What you might notice, because you haven't thought about it too much, is just that last line. May God give strength to his king and raise high the strength of his anointed one. Because you know, when she wrote that, there was no king in Israel. There was no anointed one. But in a sort of prophetic way, she just saw what God was doing and what God would do. And amazingly, it was her son that anointed the first two kings of Israel, both Saul and later on David. As you think about Hannah, I think we can only be impressed with her as a woman. Someone that struggled so much, you know, we struggle. Someone that came to God in her need. And when God answered her prayer, she responded with this amazing psalm of praise. I think it's the response that makes her a wonderful model of what a believer ought to be. We know the parable of the ten, or not the parable, the story of the 10 lepers. They cried out to the Lord. What did they say? Lord, have mercy on us. They came up to Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on us. And then Jesus said, show yourself to the priests. You know, you're going to be clean. And one of them, a Samaritan, and the rest Jews. And one came back and thanked him for what he had done. And the author of that gospel makes that strong point, but he was a Samaritan. He wasn't one of God's people. So when you think of Hannah, you think of someone that just responds in a powerful way to the love of God shown to her. And surely that's the way it should be for all of us. When God gives us a job after a great period or a long length of unemployment, our hearts will be filled with praise. If the Lord gives us health after a period of ill health, our hearts should be filled with praise. When we are consumed with our own guilt, the guilt of our own sin, and in Christ we are forgiven, we should be filled with thanks and praise to God. And not just for what we have, but a recognition of who God is. He's the God of reversals. He's the God that can change things. When we look at our own society, we're filled with distress. Where are we going as a country? But Hannah reminds us that God is a God of reversals. Those who glory are in their own strength, they're like Penina, that second wife of Elkanah. Look at me. She made life difficult for Hannah. Penina represents a world against God. But Hannah knows that God can reverse anything, because that is the way that God operates. If he can raise up Jesus from the dead, he has power to do all things. Like I said, I like that line about strength that we find in her praise. Because no one succeeds by strength alone. People need to recognise, don't they, that they're weak so that they can find a saviour. If you think you're strong, you're never going to look. When it comes to movies, American movies in particular, I always moan as I sit there. I hate it every time that someone says, and I promise I'll always be there for you. I promise I'll always look after you. And I just groan within me. Because we don't have that kind of strength. God alone has the strength. God weakens those who think they're strong, and he strengthens those who know that they are weak. That is the God of reversals, the God of this particular chapter that Hannah talks to us about. What's the role Peninnah plays in the story? And I just want to finish with that. What's her role in the story? Well, her role was in the story, or what she did in the story, is simply to make life miserable for Hannah. And like I said, she represents the world in that sense. The world that laughs at a Christian, the world that mocks the Christian. But you know what she succeeds in doing? She succeeds in driving Hannah to God. I think it's a good thing. And when the world picks on the Christian and mocks the Christian and laughs at the Christian, laughs at the church, the result should be that it drives us to God. In our distress, we are drawn closer to God. Hannah's an amazing woman of faith. She's written this amazing psalm of faith. She talks to us about the God who loves to reverse things for his glory. Amen.